Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There were things you could say that you couldn't say to your own family members or friends. And it's not that you didn't want to, it's just they wouldn't have got it, they wouldn't have understood. You know, you're lost in your own mind as well with grief, you know, and it was like your go-to place where you could go and put it down.
Welcome to Grief Encounters with me, Sasha Hamrogue.
And I'm Venetia Quick. We're a weekly podcast that looks at an issue that affects us all and yet remains so difficult to talk about.
We'll be chatting to guests from all walks of life on the subject of death and all that comes with it.
Our main aim is to motivate, comfort and create a modern space for people to share their own experiences.
Could you think of someone that could benefit in listening? Tell them about Grief Encounters, out every single Tuesday.
On today's episode, we met Colette Byrne, the founder and creator of Widow.ie. Colette lost her husband, Peter, in a road traffic accident in 2008. Literally one Sunday morning, he went out for a motorbike ride. And a few hours later, she got the call that changed her and her three-year-old daughter's life forever. She talked to us about the importance of grief support, support from your friends and your family, and from other people who perhaps are in the same situation. She established Widow.ie from scratch, literally built her own website without any online support in the months after her death, and found that for herself very therapeutic. She's won awards for it since, so I think it's quite obvious to say it's been therapeutic for other people. It's an online community for people in grief to chat, discuss and support each other.
I think grief support is essential. I think finding out that someone else has felt the things that you felt, someone else has felt alone like you have, someone else has felt despair like you have. So I think community and connection is key to being able to overcome a loss. A lot of times when you're feeling so lonely and distraught, it can be hard to motivate yourself to do anything. But Colette took this chance to help other people. And that is so inspiring, to say the least. When she was talking about how she set up the website and that she didn't have the skills to even do such a thing, and what it is today, it's really unbelievable. So she's taking her story and what happened to her and the loss of her husband, which she spoke so beautifully about. But she did something for so many others, and like it's pretty incredible. I mean, Venetia, how important do you find grief support? Has that been something that's kind of played a role in your life recently?
I think grief support is incredibly important. Your friends will give you, and family and whoever's around you, give you so much support day to day. But I sort of believe that when you're dealing with grief, particularly spousal grief, in my experience, and at a relatively young age, you sort of look for reassurance from other people who are in or have been in the same situation, that you will get through it, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that it's, while the pain will always be there and will never go away, it lessens slightly or will lessen slightly. And I think there's always, certainly for me, there's always, I don't want to be a burden to anybody. I don't want to be this person where my name comes up on somebody's phone and they go, God, it's her again. Or, you know, they're sort of going, oh, we'll just leave that till later. You don't want to be that person, because you don't want to throw your grief onto anybody else. And why people are amazing and they're always there to listen. Sometimes, and I hope nobody takes this the wrong way, it's the people that have been in that situation that you want to hear from. It is that reassurance. It is that, it's, something's really strange when this happens to you, in that whereas you always shared so many things with your friends and family, now you're living something that perhaps they haven't gone through, that perhaps they haven't experienced. And that makes you different from so many of your friends and family. It makes you completely separate. But it aligns you with other people that have been through the same. Sometimes you can be out with a group of friends. They're your best friends. But there's something inherently lonely inside you because you are now different. There's something, you're going through something that they haven't gone through yet. Not that you'd wish it on anybody. And not that you think you're exclusive by any means, but that it sets you apart. You now are experiencing something that they haven't experienced yet. And you sort of look to other people who have been in, I hope this comes out the wrong way, but in being in that situation, because that's where you know that you're relying on the other people, because you can see they've been there, done that, and are coming out the other side, but also they know really what you're going through, if that makes sense. Ten years ago, Colette Byrne got the devastating news that her husband Peter was tragically killed in a road accident. Now, in the following weeks and months, while her daughter, who was three at the time, was asleep at night, Colette began searching online for a potential support or connection to help her in this immediate time of grief. Now, we're delighted that Colette joins us now in the studio to speak about the importance of grief support. And also what she has actually done to help thousands of Irish people in their time of loss. You're very welcome, Colette.
Thank you, Venetia.
We're going to talk about Widow IE shortly. First of all, though, can you take us back to what happened to you in 2008?
2008, we were a little family of three, and myself and Peter, we were planning on having another child. We were just your typical ordinary Irish family. Peter worked in the buildings, I worked in accounts. Our little girl, she was only three at the time, and it was a Sunday morning, and Peter decided to go for a little spin out the road, and within a few hours I had got word from the guards that he was killed instantly on the road in a traffic accident, and it all spiraled on from there. So one morning, on Sunday morning, I was talking to Peter, and the following afternoon I was in a room floor to ceiling with coffins, picking one out for him. So it was just a very strange world to land in all of a sudden.
And a time probably where you don't really remember much of what went on that day, or what it's all sort of quite blurry in that immediate side. How long was it after he left the house did you get the news?
I'd say he left about specific times now have kind of faded away. But I think it was about 11:30, and by about 3:30, 3 o'clock. It was actually, the weird thing is, I was in the kitchen doing a bit of housework at 3:10, and I was waiting for the 3 o'clock news, and Kate kept turning up the little television over in the corner. So I eventually just turned off the radio because I wasn't going to hear the news with, you know, 3-year-olds.
Yeah.
And turned out it was actually announced on the 3 o'clock news.
Before you knew about it?
Yeah, before I knew about it. Didn't mention his name, but the location. And because it's such a country area, I would have known, you know, a motorcyclist killed on the road. So within a few minutes, my brother had actually come down to the house. And God loved him, really and truly. You can imagine the guards coming to a house of a mother and a little child. They actually went up to my parents' house, which was around the corner. And they had told my parents. And my brother came down. And he says, come on, quick, up to Mum and Dad's. And it happened so fast that we didn't even get to put the safety belt on Kate in the back seat. And I was looking at Kate and she was looking at me, what is wrong here, you know? But it didn't strike me there was anything terrible. I thought it was something work-related or something. And on up we went anyway. And there was a police car in Mum and Dad's yard. And it still doesn't strike me that it was anything terrible, because you don't, it just happened, you don't expect anything like that. But when it came around to the guard telling me, he, God love him, he wasn't able to say he was killed or that. He said it was the worst case scenario after explaining it was a traffic accident. And I actually thought maybe he lost a limb or he was in a coma, and I was all on go, let's go to that. Let's see what, you know, we've got to see to this now. And they had to stop me. He said, no, it was actually, he died. He was killed. And, you know, you often see movies or whatever where someone has got that news and they break down crying. I just stood there. I just couldn't process it. You know, that in that instant, someone could be killed. I mean, I was only talking to him only a few hours earlier. And then it all just spiraled on from there.
You're touching on something that's so important, which is that oftentimes grief isn't processed exactly how we think it is or how it is in movies. The breaking down and crying. Oftentimes there isn't crying.
True.
Oftentimes there's... I mean, how did you find that first few weeks? Because sometimes for some people it is about numbness and less about the kind of theatrical bawling and crying. It's more about just not feeling anything or having a sort of a wide range of emotions that you never expected.
True. There was times where I just couldn't cry, where I just couldn't process that this young man, healthy, strong, was gone, you know. So there was days where I just wished I could cry but couldn't cry, and then there was those days where you wish you could stop crying, you know, and you often wondered which was worse. I remember it was just so hard. And but as time went on, I realized that I did feel better after the crying. That was the days where I couldn't cry. They were nearly the worst. But sometimes actually strangest places you'd cry. I remember just driving in the car, I couldn't listen to the radio because it was always love songs and or they were talking about whatever, and it paled into insignificance to what I was going through at the time. So the car would be quiet and be driving along, and all of a sudden you burst into tears and you'd be wondering, where did that come out of? But you couldn't cry maybe at your kitchen table when you had that peace and quiet.
Yeah,
you know?
But we've talked to that like quite a good bit, that like people will bolster you up around the milestones, the birthdays, Easter, Halloween, whatever it may be. But it's the tiny little thing, like, I don't know, seeing a plum pudding in Lidl, that'll set you off because it reminds you of the other person. So it comes out of nowhere. You were saying, obviously, that you, Kate, who was three. Mm. So that sort of put a different dynamic in your story, because in one way, you had no choice but to get up and get on with it. In the time straight after Peter passed away, what did you rely on to get you through those days? Where did you get your strength to get up, or did you just do it?
Oh, it was hard. It was hard. I don't know where, if you call it strength or just a little kid of three just saying, mammy, mammy, you know. I think it was more that, and not wanting her to suffer because mammy was in turmoil. I mean, she missed her dad, but it wasn't quite processing for a 3-year-old. It takes a little bit of time. They might wonder where daddy is. I don't know. It's necessity, I suppose. You get up and you say, I have to feed a child. I have to dress her. You know, you have to, you know, there might be somewhere you have to go. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
And their life must go on. Like they still have their needs, like their play dates or whatever they may be.
For luck, she was in a creche prior to Peter passing away. So she had that routine. And I kept her in the routine pretty much after the funeral, brought her back because she loved coming back into her little playgroup and her little friends. And it actually done her good because kids are different than adults. Kids will grieve and cry, especially very young children. And then within about half an hour to be out playing in great form, you know.
It's quite bizarre, isn't it? It's sort of like this, like, okay, I'm done crying now, so I can move on and go and play the Xbox or whatever it is they choose to do. In the weeks afterwards then, you looked for support because you were a young widow. You shouldn't be a widow. You shouldn't be filling out the widow pension form, which seems such a awful thing to do when you're a young person. It's an awful form. It is. And there's other things you have to do that mightn't be utilities, whatever, that mightn't be in your name. You have to go over and over and over it again. You looked for online for some sort of support or group network and didn't come across anything.
The only thing I came across at the time was an American, similar to what we have now, an American group. And I actually found that quite good, but I had questions related to the Irish system because it was a traffic accident. I had an inquest coming up and there was all sorts of angles to that. And even the month's mind, you know, what do you do for these things? Yep. What have people done before? So as the weeks were coming up to Christmas, I was kind of thinking about it, but I thought, sure, I'm in no state to do it. But the girl in work, I had mentioned to her that there's no real supports for young widows. And she says, sure, why don't you do it? And I looked at her and I said, are you crazy? I'm in no fit state to hardly make a cup of tea, let alone take on something like that. But the seed was sown.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
If you're looking for a safe haven to express how you feel, share articles, photos, and memories of your loved ones, join the Grief Encounters Facebook group, a place for support, compassion and empathy for those grieving.
Over that Christmas, I said, the internet's around long enough now. I said, sure, I'll give it a go. You know, why isn't there something like this? You know, there was kind of an energy behind you, kind of going, Jesus, you know, make it in there and, you know, try something. And it started from there anyway. And it was a bit of a journey because I hadn't the first clue what I was doing.
But you do now.
Yeah, I do now. Yeah, I do.
So eventually tell us a little about what you did and what you've achieved.
Okay. Well, coming from someone that didn't know how to program, the best I knew at the time was how to send an email. I researched and looked up online and I came across open source software. And they basically have instructions and you follow the instructions. But I had a clear idea in my mind what I wanted, and we got that going. Now, it didn't happen overnight that people started joining and chatting and connecting. People did join. It was like having a lovely set dinner for, I know, X amount of people and no one coming. And it was kind of lonely at the time, and I was wondering, God, you know, am I crazy for trying, for doing this?
Yeah, because that might have made you feel more alone already in a very lonely time.
Yeah, so I used it then as a... You know, people have blogs now. So I used it in a blog kind of way on the forum network. So I wrote, I would write, and I put up my piece. And then a couple of weeks went past, and I actually got an email from TV3, and they invited me on. And it was kind of from that and other little bits of media things that it really took off. But there had been, prior to that, there had been people joining, but they weren't they weren't connecting. You know, they were like me, they were out there, you know. It was kind of that euphoric moment when they all started coming together and connecting and talking. And it was both happy and sad because the reason why we were all here was, you know, the loss of someone they loved, you know.
I mean, I think the thing that brought us here that has brought us here today is taking action in grief. So when you're suffering from grief, but you know that there are other people out there that are as well, and that can be that sharing. Obviously, the heart of things, that knowing you're not alone is such an important thing. Do you feel that it helped you heal over the time that you from when you started it to now, that it's helped you heal?
Oh, definitely. when I started talking to other people, there was things you could say that you couldn't say to your own family members or friends. And it's not that you didn't want to, it's just they wouldn't have got it, they wouldn't have understood, and they were grieving as well. So you don't want to start loading on, you know, your own grief onto them and making them more upset because they already felt helpless. But it was just connecting with people, and they were up the road, you know, they could have been 50 miles away, but they got it. They understood what you were going through. And some of them were quite funny, and some of them were, you know, like yourself, myself, you know, upset, and we could just connect. And it was like a, you know, you're lost in your own mind as well with grief, you know, and it was like your go-to place where you could go and put it down, write down what was troubling you on a given day, and people just understood and connected, you know.
And I think also there's a need for that, because when you're in that situation, you can be with 10 of your best friends, but inside, you might as well just be on your own, really, because it doesn't matter that everyone's around you and you know they're conscious of you and looking after you. But inside, you're still, on any given day, you might be just sitting there feeling incredibly lonely and lost. So I think to know somebody else is going through, and of course there's millions of people going through the same thing, you know, but to connect directly with somebody who's going through exact same thing, you sort of become this little club.
We're like a united little force, you know. It was wonderful. It's hard to describe, it's hard to explain, but it was like we were, you know, I often hear of soldiers come back from battle and they're still friends 20 and 30 years later, because they've been through it, they go through it, you know. It's that strength you get from each other.
Of course. After my parents both passed, a very close friend of mine, unfortunately, sadly, the same thing had happened to her, and we could never possibly be closer after that, because we were the only two people within our, that we knew, that had gone through the same experience, and it bonded us in such a way that was so powerful, because I always knew that she got it. And that, just that simple thing of knowing that someone, even though we all grieve differently, all process differently, just knowing the kind of gravity of it is so important. So I can totally understand that building that community and seeing it grow must have been very powerful.
And you don't have to explain yourself. No. You know, these people understand, you know.
With it, at ease, well, you've won an award for the site. How was that? Was that just like the ultimate acknowledgement?
Oh my God. I mean, as it is, it's a website. You're at home and you work from home. You're kind of sheltered in a way. You know, I always hope that every person that joins can benefit from it. And there's always that fear, God, you know, I hope, you know, you know. But then came the show, and even before the award was announced, and all these people were telling me these great things, and you're kind of going, God, is that really, you know? I mean, now and again you get a bit of feedback, and but you know, when the site has been used, it was something must have been working. And first of all, to get nominated, oh my God, because I mean, this is a show I watch, you know, and oh, it's hard to put into words, because it was wonderful. And you know, when you're widowed, your confidence kind of goes as well, and you don't realize it. And it wasn't that you were walking 10 foot tall or anything. It was just kind of, a little boost, you know. And it was really lovely. It was really, really lovely.
10 years down the line, Colette, where are you now? How do you feel? What would you say to somebody who's sort of a newbie in the widowhood game?
Yeah. On the group, we always say, try not to think too far, especially in the first year or two. You know, be gentle on yourself. As in, lots of people have regrets. You know, if I'd done this, if I'd done that, you know, try and stop that. And, you know, literally go for a walk, get out in the fresh air, you know, take it moment by moment. Don't think too far ahead, you know. And if it's a thing you can't literally get up off a chair, the world is literally falling down around you, just stand up. Have one thing that day, even if it's just fill the dishwasher. That's today's task. You know, and as time goes on, you know, tomorrow you'll be able to maybe do two things, you know, paperwork, get help with it, you know, just take it easy. You're doing great. You know, people don't realize how well they're doing. You are doing great. You're here, you're standing, you know. And I often find people that join the forum and they're really struggling, but the fact that they're on the forum,
they're the first step.
Yeah. They're searching, you're going to get through it. You know, and that's, you know, to always take the first step.
And what would you say to the people who are around the person that is grieving or left behind? Because sometimes they don't know what to say. They say the wrong thing. That can be a very tricky situation for the friends, for the family who might think they're dealing with it in the right way.
Okay. First of all, just listen and let them talk. If they want to talk about their husband or their wife that has passed away or their mother, father, let them talk. You know, share a nice story, you know. I mean, you're not going to do it in the centre of the supermarket, but, you know, allow them to speak. You know, don't kind of shut them down when they want to, you know, say something about their husband or wife. You know, just help. Sometimes even the person who is grieving, they don't know what help they need. So if you see a basket of laundry that needs to go out to the line or brought in, you know, just don't say anything. Just do it. You know, don't pull the whole house asunder by saying, okay, we've got to get rid of all these shirts and these shoes and whatever. You know, just basic things, the straightforward things. You know, just simple things help, because it's the simple things that hurt the most when you're grieving, you know.
I think, but you know, it is so simple, but the power of food, like a lasagna in someone's fridge, that means they don't have to cook dinner.
Oh my God, yeah.
I mean, like, mind you, I have to say, I was thinking about that earlier, I never want to see lasagna.
Yeah, now you might be well over it at this age, but on those nights,
it's practical, isn't it?
It is.
It's practical, things like, I'll take the kids for 2 hours.
Oh my God,
go
yes.
and have a rest.
Yes.
Or go to the supermarket. Or
yeah.
do whatever you need to do.
Yeah. Or
they're
sleep.
Gone until five. Yes, exactly. Yes. So maybe that's something people can think, just to be practical.
Yes, and if there's a child in the house, don't always bring sweets and biscuits.
Yeah.
Because I had a cupboard that every time I opened it, the stuff was just piling down on top of me.
Can you tell us a little bit about Peter? I'd love to know a little bit more about him.
You would have liked Peter, actually. He was chatty. He was tall, he was handsome. Of course, every wife should say that, but he was. And he had a very interesting take on things, whereas I would see, you know, we'd see something in the news and we'd chat about it, and he would pick that, you know, that manly viewpoint. I miss that. I really do miss that, because it kind of opened up a whole new world, you know, of thinking, kind of, oh yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And he was good with history. You know, he'd be fascinated by what's going on out there now in Europe and all the rest of it, because he could tell you exactly what the people from these countries would be thinking. You know, I just missed that. And he loved to fish, you know, he loved swimming, he was very active, you know, and he was he could talk for hours, you know, and he had this hearty laugh as well. So he was that guy in the group that had a big hearty laugh, you know. I just miss him. He was kind as well, but manly, you know.
Do you ever look at things like you're talking about, what's going on in Europe at the moment and how things develop and, you know, life goes on and the world goes on and things change. But do you ever look at it and think it's really weird that he doesn't know that those houses which started off being built 6 months ago are now finished, or he doesn't know that there's a hashtag about such and such, or that somebody's died, or that somebody's had a baby, or that something major has happened in the world? Do you find that odd? Do you find that he will never know these things?
I not so much now, but in the early time, I mean, you know, your world has stopped and you wonder, why hasn't the world around you stopped? I mean, there was a tree across the road from our house and he died on the 10th of August. And the following weekend, it was starting to turn for autumn. And I looked at the tree and says, what's going on? Like, Peter's died, the whole world should stop.
Yeah.
But on the outside world, at that time, the economic crisis was kicking off.
Yeah.
And that actually just paled into significance for what I was going through. You know, it was just minor, you know. And actually, the Olympics were on at the time. And he was big into watching the swimming, and Michael Phelps done really well that time. And you know, all these little things, and you'd be hearing them and you go, God, you know, Peter would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember finding it so difficult that my mother didn't know that David Bowie and Prince died.
I was like, but how am I going to get this information to her? It seemed so unreal that these, you know, it was such something she so would have engaged with and cared about, and we would have called each other right away. And it just seemed so like the world
was
upside down.
You just want to pick up the phone and talk to them, and you wonder,
and
God,
it's such a strange thing to not be able to express or share those things, for sure.
True. And little milestones with Kate as well.
Yeah.
You know, that
course.
Was really difficult.
I think that is possibly, well, for me, I find it, apart from missing the person and the jokes and when somebody makes you laugh, and you go, oh, that's really funny, I must tell, and then you stop yourself. I think it's sort of kids doing stuff for just little things, or growing or
bringing it to the beach,
shaving for the first time or something like that, and you go,
yeah,
you know,
it's tough.
Something that,
yeah, it's
you
tough.
Know, they're missing out on. But they know. I mean, I'm a believer that the
same.
Person knows.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
they're there. Colette, you're amazing. You've done a great service for so many people that just need that connection, who might be at home listening now and are wondering where they can go for inspiration or help or just to talk. And also, I think as well, what you're doing is you're giving help to people who are helping that person. So you're giving them a pathway to follow. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much
having me here.
Thank you. ColetteBurnWidow.ie. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.